For CJLO News, I'm Serena Abuljood. On Thursday, February 6, Concordia University's highest governing body had their monthly meeting in the Guy de Maisonneuve building, where they allegedly discussed the boycott, divestment, and sanction movement. This comes after 885 Concordia undergraduate students voted for the CSU to officially adopt a BDS position and to bring this position to the Board of Governors. Monthly meetings between the Board of Governors generally have a session open to observation through Zoom. CJLO attended the observation room. However, as soon as the meeting began, a disconnection occurred. The message displayed on the screen said, "The host has removed you from the meeting." The technician responsible for connecting the call explained that he was told to shut down the stream due to technical difficulties. He also said that these conflicts are rare and that other Board of Governors who were joining online were also having connection troubles. CJLO did not receive any further clarifications on the matter. According to a source who was granted anonymity for safety reasons, BDS was addressed in a closed session in a very condescending and dismissive manner to student democracy. While governors on the board were having their meeting, a student contingent rally took place in front of the GM building.
On December 17, 2024, a Palestinian student was violently attacked in the hall building just there.
Shame!
The university chose, despite the student's request to publicly acknowledge what happened to him on school grounds, to ignore the student and their impassioned pleas and the reality of a university environment which condones violence against Palestinian and pro-Palestinian students. Then, on January 30th, the day after the CSU convened a historic meeting of Concordia's undergraduate student membership, where students voted overwhelmingly in favor of BDS motions prompting Concordia to disclose, divest, defend, and declare, Graham Carr issued a deeply misinformed, racist, Islamophobic, and incendiary condemnation of a binding democratic vote. The CSU condemns both the racially and sexually motivated attack which took place in December and the growing anti-Palestinian, anti-Arab, and Islamophobic sentiments on campus, which the university, via its hateful action, continues to perpetuate. The student who was physically assaulted on school grounds after completing a final exam was not supported by Concordia's Campus Safety and Prevention Services or by the SPVM. Rather, in the midst of Concordia's many shortcomings, it was fellow students who came to the victim's rescue. In the aftermath of this horrific incident, we must acknowledge how students have a crucial responsibility to protect each other as these incidents of violence multiply. The incident, far from being isolated, is symptomatic of existing anti-Palestinian, anti-Arab, and Islamophobic sentiments on Concordia's campus, which have been further exacerbated by the administration's consistent framing of Palestinian and pro-Palestinian students as individuals deserving of violent repression. Graham Carr's statement draws upon this same anti-Palestinian racism and sentiment to paint the results of a democratic vote in favor of BDS, literally a non-violent gesture for Israel to comply with international law, as illicit, hostile, and non-binding. The university's continuous characterization of student-led democratic processes and action as a threat to academic freedom and to the safety of students is misleading and defamatory, and contributes to a growing double standard in how Concordia responds to political expression concerning Palestinian human rights. We are horrified at how easily Concordia's administration can dismiss the violent attacks against Palestinian students, whilst also loudly condemning a non-violent democratic vote. As Concordia administration continues to facilitate systems of institutionalized violence against Palestinians through its investments, partnerships, and communiques to the student body, it should come as no surprise that students of Palestinian heritage or in support of the Palestinian cause are openly targeted, whether through outwardly violent and hateful attacks or via misleading public statements from the university's president. This ongoing institutional effort to dismiss and ignore those subject to systemic and physical harm has empowered individuals, including members of Concordia's Campus Safety and Prevention Services, to continue to perpetuate acts of violence against marginalized students. When asked by the students attacked on December 17th to send out a warning to the student body since the assault occurred on campus and seemed to be racially motivated, Darren Dumoulin, head of CSPS, denied the victim's request to warn fellow students. Can Concordia's deputy spokesperson, Julie Fortier, then noted that such security advisories are only sent out when there is, quote, an imminent or active threat to the safety of community members, as was done a number of times during fall protests when acts of violence or vandalism occurred. Yet, on January 30th, mere hours after students voted overwhelmingly and democratically in favor of BDS, Graham Carr issued a statement inaccurately characterizing the meeting as, quote, deeply troubling, and BDS as, quote, contrary to the value of academic freedom. In light of this troubling rhetoric, wherein vandalism is given more consideration than the literal physical harm enacted upon a student on school grounds, and nonviolent student political expression is criminalized, we must reiterate, we cannot conflate damage to property with physical violence directed at students. We cannot have academic freedom without the freedom to acknowledge the act of genocide against the Palestinian people. For students who have witnessed and or experienced violence, harassment, and discrimination, the CSU encourages you to contact our Legal Information Clinic and the Student Advocacy Center, both of which provide services free of charge. Thank you.
Greetings from the Pan-African Student Union. We join you here today amongst our comrades who have gathered to put pressure on Concordia and McGill administration to listen to the demands of their students.
Louder!
For over a year and a half, the students have loudly declared our demands. They are disclose, divest, declare, and defend. We have the right to ask for transparency from our university's administration that supposedly exists for our academic and social benefits. Not only do we deserve transparency, but we deserve and demand participation in decision-making processes. We have and will continue to exhaust all democratic mechanisms available to us, as limited as they may be, until our voices are heard. The CSU's January 29th historic SGM vote overwhelmingly passed in favor of BDS and against disciplinary measures for students advocating for Palestinian liberation, as well as working to remove police and private security from our campus. The results of the vote are a testament to our commitment and unity in this struggle. We as Pan-Africans salute the student movement for Palestine because it is a just cause fighting against the oppressive forces in our institution. An institution that has a legacy of consistently being on the wrong side of history. It is not lost on us that we are standing on the same campus that was the scene of the largest student occupation in Canadian history. The Sir George Williams occupation that started on January 29th of 1969, commonly referred to as the computer riots, was a manifestation of long-held grievances against the university. Repeated racist treatment of students and faculty, which on numerous occasions was brought to the university's judicial board and consistently ignored, resulted in the occupation, an effort to demand the voices of the students be heard. The reaction from the administration was brutal and shameful.
Shame!
Police were called onto campus to squash the protests. Over 97 students were beaten and arrested, and one student, Coralie Hutchison, died in the hospital as a result of her beatings.
Shame!
May she rest in peace. The 69 occupation serves as an example for the contemporary student movement. The Black students were not fighting alone nor in isolation from the broader global political context. The occupation and demands of the movement had support from students, faculty, and the larger community outside of the university's walls. Participants came from numerous different backgrounds. You did not have to be Black to see the injustice perpetuated against Black people, an injustice that unfortunately continues today.
Shame!
Black students and community members saw themselves as part of a global Black power and liberation movement. The Black Panther Party, often credited with popularizing the symbolism and ideology of this movement, gained their inspiration from the multiple anti-colonial armed struggles for national liberation on the African continent and throughout the Third World. Studying these struggles, they realized that their role, fighting in the belly of the imperial beast, was integral to the liberation of all oppressed people globally. The occupation of 1969 was an extension of this struggle here in the belly of the beast. It's been said that history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. Over five decades later, we are in the midst of a re-emerging militant global student movement. One that is tied to and gains direction from the struggle of an occupied and oppressed people waging an armed national liberation movement. Palestine is our generation's political and moral compass. Not only are Palestinians fighting against a Goliath fascist state, their fight is simultaneously revealing the contradictions in Western political society. A society that claims to be a democracy with equal treatment and opportunity for all citizens. It has actually revealed itself to be an unpopular, genocidal, and white supremacist society. Shame! Of course, this is not a new revelation to marginalized people living in this settler colonial state. Indigenous people, as victims to the same oppressive historical processes we see in Palestine, here on Turtle Island, have been saying this for hundreds of years. Black people too. This clarity was articulated by the occupants of the 69 movement. And it is in this tradition of resistance to oppression that we fight today for Palestinian liberation. We want to share a quote from Rosie Douglas, a leader in the movement and occupation of 69, and later president of Dominica. Quote, "We must never give up the fight for the rights and dignity of all people." End quote. None of us are free until we are all free. Graham Carr and your Zionist lackeys, I hope you hear us loud and clear. Liberation is coming in our lifetime, and just as your shameful predecessors are remembered as brutal upholders of an oppressive status quo, you too will be seen in the same way, forever on the wrong side of history. History has already absolved the Palestinians, and it will absolve the student movement in their name. Free the people, free the land, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Student protesters marched all the way to McGill University's James Administration Building, where approximately 10 riot cops surrounded the area. Some protesters threw paint-filled balloons at the entrance and windows while chanting for divestment. Demonstrators continued down Rue University and dispersed around McGill Metro Station. Since then, Concordia Student Union disclosed that they received an email from the university's provost and vice president, Anne Whitelaw, and vice president Michael DiGrappa, saying that Concordia will be conducting an investigation into the CSU. In the email, Whitelaw and DiGrappa accused the CSU of violating several regulations and codes during the special general meeting on Wednesday, January 29th. The accusations include allowing the overcrowding of the auditorium where the meeting took place, using the hall building mezzanine to accommodate more students without booking the space, letting the People's Potato serve food in the auditorium without permission from the university, and having them set up their services in a way that blocked emergency exits. They also accused the CSU of facilitating a discriminatory and intimidating environment, tolerating the glorification of terrorism, as well as silencing voices opposed to BDS. While the investigation is ongoing, the CSU won't be able to book any spaces on campus, and any reservations already made will be cancelled. However, this does not apply to the CSU's offices and spaces funded by the university. For more, go to cjlo.com/news or follow CJLO News on Spotify.